welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm very privileged to be speaking with Father Peter Fellner of the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate. Thank you so much for joining me today. We just went through an election cycle where our Congress is kind of turned upside down, and we have much more pro-abortion, anti-life, anti-family legislators. And many of us in the pro-life movement, you know, are very deflated. You know, how did we get to this point, and is there any hope of getting out of this crevasse that we're in culturally in this country? How did we get to this point, Father?
How did we get to this point where we lost the election?
Well, just the fact that we're so anti-life.
Well, I don't think it's because simply at this moment it's been the case. I think it's been a good number of people, influential people. Let's put it away. I don't think a majority of Americans are anti-life. I think the march in Washington establishes that pretty firmly. Any group that can bring 200,000 plus marchers every year in the winter to Washington since 1972 certainly is not losing. That doesn't mean we're winning every political battle. There could be a lot of proximate reasons why the election went the way it did go. I don't think necessarily represents a turnabout in the situation, the overall situation in the country. It seems to me there were other factors that influenced people to vote this way. And the net result was, coincidental perhaps, but nonetheless the result, from an apparent majority of pro-life legislators, there is now effectively a minority, which makes it more difficult to achieve immediate practical goals. That's true. But I don't think the overall situation really changed that much. The battle that has been going on for some time between, one, the woman, I want to introduce her right away, it's Our Lady, and the serpent and his brood. Brood has been going on for some time and raging in this country for some time. It's going to continue raging, and there'll be ups and downs in the political order, simply because in the end the battle will be won by the woman, but it will be won precisely on her terms. What does she want? Very simply, she wants everybody to adopt a culture of life.
Yeah.
We got to this situation because too many people, at least influential people in politics, in banking, finance, economy, in
Hollywood,
education, in the media, public entertainment, those who determine practically what the morals of society, public morals will be, adopted in fact a culture of death. Now they won't call it that,
sure,
because they're all for life too,
right,
on their terms,
right,
not on Our Lady's terms. What is a culture of death? We have to be precise. It's a culture of impurity. It's a culture of self-interest. It is a culture of total moral relativism. I am the center of all things. What suits me at the moment is good. What doesn't suit me is evil. Too bad about you. If the baby gets in the way, the baby goes out with the bathwater. This is the simplest way of putting it. So what happened? At a certain point in the public order effectively, there was an acceptance or a permission to act as though everything were based on a culture of impurity, which always leads to death.
Mm-hmm.
It did in the Garden of Eden. Self-interest, no, it wasn't concupiscence that was involved initially. It was self-will.
Mm-hmm.
Self-will opened the door to concupiscence, and concupiscence always ends by promoting death, not simply of individuals, but of an entire community.
Culture.
And at the present time, the community equals the community of Adam and Eve. The entire human family is at stake. Look at it carefully. If there are no babies, if there are no conceptions, if there are no births, what happens? How do you think it will end up for us? Why? There won't be any more human race.
Right.
As they used to say in Latin, cui bonum, to whom is this an advantage? You named it. The old gent who appeared as a serpent, a very clever, a very impressive animal. Anyway, that's the reason we are in the situation. The reason for hopefulness is precisely because we have the woman who cannot be defeated by the serpent, who is terrorized by the serpent. That's the first point I think has to be made. This is the reason. Now, if you can get enough people to believe in that and push that at the grassroots level, eventually things will turn around. My second point would simply be this. The situation is in some ways desperate in the Western world. I think it could be turned around. Indeed, Our Lady has promised that it will be turned around, but the condition is that we do what our Lord wants, that we promote the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, which means at the practical level, we have to keep insisting. The basis of all human, social, personal existence is the family. And the solidity, the stability of the family depends upon an acceptance by everyone. I mean literally everyone, not just Catholics, but non-Catholics as well, of chastity. If that's not in place, the battle will continue to rage. This is what is the object of an apparition, little known but worth studying more, that occurred in Ohio during the 1950s to an obscure but very holy sister by the name of Sister Mary Ephraim Noisil, Our Lady of America. This is what she asked of the bishops of the country.
But haven't we heard of Our Lady of America? I did recently, last year, I think I saw a little bit of about her online.
Yes.
But tell us, tell our viewers, who is Our Lady of America?
Our Lady of America.
What were her messages?
Basically, Our Lady herself in the messages, apparitions to this very holy sister described herself as nothing other than the Immaculate Co-Redemptrix. She asked that a statue of her, she designed the statue herself, somewhat along the lines of Our Lady when she appeared to St. Catherine Laboure in Paris, 1830. She designed the miraculous medal. And curiously, the figure of Our Lady does resemble the figure in the miraculous medal, the description of Saint Bernadette at Lourdes, and a great deal of the message of Our Lady of America is nothing more than an application of the messages at Fatima to the role that Our Lady is asking the United States, in particular, to play in her plan for the salvation of the entire human family, and that is, as were to make of family life in this country an example for the whole world. Family life based upon the respect, the honor given to what used to be called chastity, chastity of married, chastity of the virgins, chastity, celibacy of the priests, and not just Catholics. The whole,
right.
If you want the whole country to be her sanctuary.
You know, when you bring up the family, it reminds me that it goes back well beyond Roe v. Wade, that the attack on the family. I mean, could it go even further beyond the point where the Supreme Court legalized contraception? When you legalize contraception, that of course is going to lead to more impurity. It's going to lead, give, spouses excuses or the ability to, commit adultery. And then, of course, when the contraception doesn't work, that led to abortion. And now, we're attacking the family through all sorts of different means.
The legalization of contraception is the flashpoint in all of this. It is the point in which the floodgates were opened.
Right.
So how do we get it here? The first Christian group, the Anglicans in England in 1929 in the Lambeth Synod, were the first to introduce this momentous change. Up to that point, no self-respecting Christian, even if separated from Rome, approved of contraception.
Right.
Everybody was agreed it was a sin, intrinsically evil. As a consequence of that decision, Pope Pius XI wrote the famous encyclical Casti Connubii, all about the nature of marriage, the importance of chastity, and the priority of procreation. Procreative love is the only kind of authentic love, chaste love. And that the failure to observe this would introduce the fires of hell,
yeah,
into earth.
And it did.
Which is exactly what happened. And from that date, 1929, curious, that was the year of the Great Depression, began throughout the entire Western world. What came next? World War II. Everybody said, well, got us out of the Depression. Well, it got us out of the Depression to get us into further mess. And there's been one war after another since then. Everybody said, well, we had peace in 1945, yes. And within 5 years, we were fighting in Korea. We got out of Korea, and within
Vietnam.
Less than 10 years, we were in Vietnam. We got out of Vietnam, and the next thing you know, we're here, they're there. Then we got twice into Iraq, and now we're really in... all these, but these are just really the physical evils. What we see, as it were, is a continual degradation of public life to the point that the family has very little support, which it should have from politics, from economics, from education. That of the family is simply a useful tool to make more money, to produce workers, and if doesn't produce workers, you can abolish the family, mother and father.
And then the
go
society
back to work after
the
child,
the
child goes off to a nursing home. This is the sort of thing that has come about from an adoption of the contraceptive mentality, that my interests take precedence over the law, law of God.
Of
that
God,
was the whole point of the first temptation. The first temptation was not against one of the Ten Commandments, it was against the principle of authority.
Right.
God's will or my will. Oh, go chuck it, said the serpent.
Yeah.
Taste it. It'll be a great taste. You'll like it, and you'll be equal to God. You're doing your own thing.
And that's exactly what we've done. We're creating babies in test tubes.
That's right.
You know, we're undermining marriage with the, you know, no-fault divorce. That was another good thing, you know, that contraception led to, you know, quickie divorces.
Absolutely.
You know, and that...
But the simple thing is it's not enough simply to say, well, the Ten Commandments work. This is more or less what the rich young man said to our Lord. I've observed all of them. Well, one thing more is that go and sell all that you have. That means accept God's will absolutely, and only God's will, and none of these things will happen.
Right.
I'm of the opinion, but I think that's our lady's view as well. If everyone would get behind Our Lady, especially Catholics,
especially the clergy,
and promote devotion, total consecration to Our Lady, insist that all of the commandments, all of the virtues, have their center point or pass, as it were, through her. We would turn this around in no time, and we would find that everyone, because they recognize the beauty of her immaculate conception, they will recognize the potential beauty, goodness, absolute unconditional goodness of every conception. Our Lady wants every one of those children
babies
in heaven.
Yep.
They are her children, and this should inspire us, as it were, to say, well, why does she end it all right now, just like this? That may not be the most intelligent way. The only way that we will arrive at that is by converting.
Yeah.
She wants everyone converted. She doesn't want one of these dictatorial decrees. Anyway, that is how I see the situation at the moment. Comparing it with some other Western countries, I think that the pro-life movement is in very good condition. You must not lose hope merely because you lost an election. That's another point that needs to be emphasized. Politics isn't everything.
Yeah.
It has its importance. Economics is important, but it is relative to something still more fundamental. In this case, I would say not simply the theological, but the articles of that which we believe. What was the test of the angels? What was the test of our first parents? Would they, at root, accept the child and his mother, Jesus and Mary? That is the basic point of departure and arrival. All the rest will come about very nicely. But if we are not willing to accept Jesus through Mary, then we're going to see the battle raised. The one good thing about it is that Our Lady's not giving up.
Yeah.
And so we continue.
She needs to be the role model. She needs to be the role model for our daughters and the role model for our sons.
Of course, she's a very effective role model.
Yeah, not Britney Spears, you know.
We have to recognize that in the history of the church, there have been other periods where this sort of thing has gone on, perhaps not with the vehemence of the present moment, but the forces of good and evil have been in battle for some, engaged in battle for some time. But we also need to recognize, while the battle is raging, anyone who does believe in our, in the promises of Our Lady and is thoroughly, absolutely, unconditionally devoted here will not be disappointed.
So do you think
not merely in what happens at the end of history, but what continues, that they will be able to accomplish a great deal.
In that regard, do we have a responsibility to get engaged in politics, or is devotion to Mary enough?
No, I think if we are devoted to Our Lady, we'll be engaged in a lot of. I'm simply saying that devotion to Our Lady must be the point of reference.
Right.
There are many Catholics who are devoted to Our Lady. I'm not suggesting the clergy are not devoted to Our Lady. My question, however, is that devotion central, or is it merely peripheral?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the issue? The issue here, in questions of contraception, abortion, euthanasia, and infanticide, a host of horrendous things that are going on. The crucial issue, is Our Lady. This is theology. This is faith. Of course, we will do all that we think will be useful, all that we think Our Lady wants in politics. We should not overlook that part. We certainly should have a political system, a political philosophy. That's the key point. Not a technique, but in first of all, philosophy, which we strive in every way possible to get others to accept.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to tie ourselves to a point where we want everyone to join this party rather than another party.
Exactly.
But we want, as it were, every party to be Christian.
Right.
Even though they may disagree on this or that particular point. But to answer your first question, yes, I do think they should be involved in politics, but not on any basis whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, should we be involved, try to influence the economic? Absolutely. I think that's one of the problems with the Western economics. It's not orientated to the family. You can't separate these two things.
Yeah.
There is such a thing as a family wage. It should not be necessary to have
both
husband
working
and wife working. The wife, the mother, has enough to do, taking care of the home and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching. And it's not the same thing is true. There's a necessity to get involved in education. Unfortunately, education is thoroughly secularized now.
Well,
I see
so many people just, here, educate my kids. No. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
That's
you can't
right.
expect
there has to be. It has
somebody
to be.
Else to educate but, your children.
But what schools, as it were, should be family-orientated, not as a substitute for, but as a support and an aid to the parents, because the prime educators are still the father and the mother, especially the mater et magistra. I was surprised, happily, to see that the present Holy Father is continuing the emphasis on a title that has been largely forgotten by professional theologians over the last centuries. Our Lady is not only Mother, she is the teacher and, above all, of the apostles. You know what the Holy Father said on the Feast of the Chair of Peter last February? He said, where was the Chair of Peter first set up? You talk about it, we know it is in Rome now. We know it was once in Antioch for a few years. Where was it first set? In the cenacle on Pentecost, in the presence of Our Lady, she is the mother and teacher, and above all of the apostles, the support of their faith. It is important that we recognize that the mother is the first teacher, and that schools are not intended, as it were, to undermine, to replace, or to substitute for, but to be, as it were, as a help. Every school
supplement,
is
supplement, yeah.
To sustain, complete what only the mother can begin. What we have done is neatly divorce education from that which is central to the family, birth, conception and birth. If you don't have that, what are you trying to educate? Stones, robots, computers?
Well, yeah.
Computers don't think. There is a radical abyss difference between a mind and a computer. A computer is a mechanical machine. A mind is a living person.
And never to be repeated.
No.
Every one of them is unique.
The Greeks called computers, they call it calculus machines, a logistical instrument.
Yeah.
And that's
exactly what a kid is.
It's an instrument, simply an instrument, unless there's a mind behind. Education deals with minds, not building machines in the first instance. And we have turned education, we have secularized it, and now it is simply, as it were, means of training people to build things.
Mm. So
that's just an abuse of the mind. We should learn how to build, but that is not the primary object of education. Education is in the first sense, a liberalization of the mind, an opening of the mind to truth, to beauty, to good. And that can only be done on the basis of faith. And ultimately, our faith in Jesus is mediated by Our Lady. If you take Our Lady out of it, you can be the most brilliant intellectual in the world, but you're not going to solve that problem. You can have billions and trillions of dollars, and you can throw it at every problem that arises, and the problem will be there after you've spent your last penny.
So in the pro-life movement, we should be continuing to do the things that we do, but if
right.
we're not already centered on Our Lady,
the one thing I would suggest very strongly is that the pro-life movement, including those who are not Catholic, we have to learn to respect Our Lady, and precisely under the title of Immaculate Conception, mm-hmm. or we will not grasp what is our, realize what is our strong point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, I think everybody in the pro-life movement would recognize, you know, like Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And she is the patroness of our movement. And so I think we're starting, but we really need
to spread. Probably one of the weak points in the United States, because there are Catholics and non-Catholics together, and non-Catholics are not always as clear as perhaps we would like them to be on the question of contraception and conception and the Immaculate. Abortion is the major fruit of the contraceptive mentality, and we cannot alter, we can repress, but we cannot take uproot the source of the difficulty unless we can effectively turn around the contraceptive, which is an expression simply of selfishness writ large.
So you're saying that, you know, even though other denominations are definitely pro-life on the abortion issue, until they turn against the contraception mentality.
I think that's the message of Our Lady. She wants everybody to go back, as it were, to the basics. They're not simply of Christian law, but of natural law. For natural law is potentially Christian. It's Christ's law also. And one of the key points of natural law, of course, is the sanctity of conception. Ultimately, we put it in personal terms. This is when the person begins. It's not simply one moment, the first in a series. It's the moment that persists in all the other moments. The dignity of the conception helps and reflects the dignity of the person. Why is every person worthy of existence, apart from the money he will make for his employer, or the number of books that he will write, or the number of elections? Because every child is potentially a child of God. Every child is potentially a child of Mary. Every child, says St. Augustine, has a right to be born, because only in that way can he enjoy his right to be baptized.
Yeah.
And that is the key point. And for St. Augustine, the worst effect of abortion was to deny to the child all the infinite, inestimable blessings of rebirth.
So,
the more we push Our Lady, the more the stronger will the pro-life movement become. Why? Because to be pro-life is to be pro-Mary. To be pro-Mary is to be pro-purity. And purity sums up in one word, the immense goodness of our Lord. St. Bonaventure says, why is contraception intrinsically evil? Because it directly attacks and rejects the generosity, the generous love of God. It can never be justified.
I know the devil's really good at tricking people into believing that, you know, that the truth is a lie and the lie is truth.
St. James tells us, study the account of the first temptation. You start out with a double talk. Well, come on, why don't you try it? Isn't it right? You should make up your own mind on these things. If you don't like it, go along with God. That's okay, I don't mind.
How do we fight that, though? I mean, I guess we can't fight it as humans. We have to...
Ultimately, to put it in blunt terms, ultimately, you have to lead people as were to confront not so much to confront them, it's to enable them to confront the truth about themselves. Have you ever heard the phrase, how can I understand God if he's not like me? How can I ever relate to Our Lady? She's not like like me. Some people, I heard a person say once many years ago, when is the Pope, he's talking about Pope John Paul II, when are you going to learn that some cultures, some people can't relate to the Virgin Mary? They don't understand. They can't take virginity. So the person speaking paused for breath and I said, madam, I said, I just want to say, any person, any culture, any community, any parishes, etc., I don't care who they are, they can't relate to the Virgin Mary, is in for doom and gloom. And in case you didn't understand, gloom and doom. And just for good measure, a third time, gloom, gloom, doom, doom, all the way round, never ending. I said, that's, if you can't relate to that, I said, you're just so much turned in upon yourself that you'll never get out of your out of yourself. Well, it's precisely because Our Lady is different that we can forget ourselves and begin, as it were, to get beyond this horrible, deadening self-centeredness, self-indulgence. The worst addiction is precisely the addiction to that is represented by the word contraception, contraceptive mentality. It's far harder to break that addiction than addiction to tobacco, addiction to alcohol or drugs. Difficult as those things are, they're nothing compared to this this addiction, this mental blindness. That's what the devil plays on. It's a great moral con act. And he comes as the big fib. Go ahead. Oh, you don't believe God. You won't die.
You won't introduce
the culture of death. We don't intend any physical damage. Yeah. But physical damage is not the principal damage. It's the moral damage that is the prince of sin, it used to be called.
So when the Catholics in the 50s and 60s were saying, running around with like chickens with their heads cut off, saying that the end of the world is coming because of introducing contraception, they were right. And everyone's, laughing at the Pope, saying, you've got to change your ways because,
the end of the world is coming. But the end of the world, in a certain sense, the end of a world that is an antechamber to paradise. Yeah. This is what I should have been said in that. This is what, because we don't know when the end of the world, that's already determined and it's not going to be revealed. It may go on for some time as far as we know. However, it is possible for a person as were to come to a point, or a community to come to a point where they commit the sin against the Holy Spirit.
That's when it's really bad.
So that's a world, in a sense, does come to an end. The world as an antechamber of paradise. So and we do, even with all the battles, we are very fortunate to be able to be present at Mass, to participate in the Mass with all the noise about it. Anyway.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you've learned something. We hope that you increase your devotion to Our Lady, and that is the only way we're going to turn our culture around. We hope that when you look in the mirror the next time, you'll realize that yours is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.